This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you, thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. This is Sherry Temple Medlock, America's messenger of truth. So America, men, women, boys, and girls, please open your truth book, your King James Bible, to the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 43, where we left off last time. John chapter 4, verse 43. Now, just before we begin, I would like to invite the entire United States of America to join me right here at the same time on this program, Trumpet of Truth, on October 8th. For America's Day to Repent number 2. My twin friend Scott Merson and I had one May 21st, and the Lord has put it in our heart to do this again. It'll be 1 month before the election, and so he's going to join me, and we are going to connect by the internet, WMIEFM.com. This is our last chance. If this country does not turn to Jesus, we are sunk. So America's Day to Repent number 2, we're calling it America Atone, Come Home to God, October 8th. That would be 9 a.m. Eastern Time. For those of you locally, come here to my school for the broadcast. Come in just a few minutes before 9. We'll have coffee and have the broadcast. Stay and pray another hour for America. And then Scott and I are going to open up the holy bench to pray for those who need to be healed or delivered from demons. October 8th, America Atone, Come Home to God, right here on Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth. And now, John 4, 43. This beautiful chapter tells us of the woman at the well. You're the woman at the well. She was thirsty, and she had to get a jug of water. But when she used that up, she would have to come and get some more. But when she went to the well, she met the living water, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he saved her soul. And so she just didn't need the jug anymore. See, when you meet Jesus, you let all the slag go. That doesn't matter anymore. And she ran into the village. She had been married and divorced 5 times. And she led all the men to Jesus. She was the first woman evangelist. Just in case anybody's got anything against people who are divorced. I mean, look at that. First woman evangelist. And now we pick it up from there, verse 43.
Verse 43. Now after 2 days, he departed thence and went into Galilee.
They had asked him to stay in Samaria 2 days, and so he did. Jesus has time for you. Do you have time for him?
44. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country.
You know, Jesus had half-brothers and sisters. We know the Bible tells us that after he was conceived by the Holy Ghost Spirit and born through the Virgin Mary, then Mary and Joseph had other children. We know that his own brothers did not believe that he was the Messiah, the one who wrote the book of James, that great book, and the book of Jude, that was Judah. They did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah until he had arisen from the dead.
45. Then, when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went into the feast.
Now that was in chapter 2, verse 23. That was talking about the feast of Passover. Now don't overlook that. Jesus went to the feast of Passover, and 2 years from that time, Jesus himself would be the Passover lamb. But when he was there, they saw miracles. Now, the people believed on him because they saw the miracles. Jesus would say, blessed are you who believe and do not see. Now, miracles are important, and God gives them to us, and there are some people who need to see to believe. That's one level. But blessed are you who believe and do not see. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
46. So Jesus came again unto Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine.
That was his first public miracle. We studied about that. Now, you came through your mother's water bag, but you're polluted water because of sin. And so you need the wine. The wine represents the blood of Jesus. And so once your polluted water is made into the blood of Jesus, then you become purified and whole. Jesus is that well of life. He is the living water. Notice how much he talks about water.
And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. 47. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death.
Capernaum means compassion. Now, this is interesting. This man did the first thing that you should do when you need help from God. Faith is an act. He put his faith in action. He went to Jesus.
48. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe.
Now, Jesus is not being cruel here. So many people believed on Jesus. He said, you believe me because you want the fishes and the loaves and you see the miracles. And he said, blessed are those who believe and you've not seen me. He was testing this man. Do you need to see a miracle? Are you going to ask me for a miracle? Or are you just going to believe?
49. The nobleman said unto him, sir, come down ere my child die.
Now, that's the second thing you do. It's called the spoken word of faith. When you're between the devil and the deep blue sea, as my mother used to say, the first thing you do is you seek Jesus. He is the living word. The Bible is the word. And then you speak the word of faith. Speak it out of your mouth. Now, remember I've told you, Jesus is the word. When you speak the word, that makes a sound, and sound produces movement. Let's watch what kind of a movement happened just because of that statement.
50. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth.
Why? Because he spoke the word of faith. The word is a sound, and sound produces movement. So Jesus moved. So see, as a king and a priest, you can walk into the courts of heaven, and if you are armored and speak God's word, not your words, not a philosopher's words, not what somebody said, the word of God, and it's anointed, and you believe it, then something happens. That's why God says in Isaiah 43:26, put me in remembrance of my word. See, when you speak the word of God, that is legal in the courts of heaven. And then something happens on earth. Hallelujah.
And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him.
In Isaiah, God tells us, believe my prophets, believe my word. Now see, all of you believe, listening, most of you do, I'm sure, maybe somebody's out there lost, but most of you believe that Jesus shed his blood for the remission of your sins. Now, you have a problem, and it's written in the book about your problem in the Bible. Now, you read that, but see, you don't believe it because you still got a long face. You haven't acted like it was there. You haven't acted like it was answered. You see, you must believe the word. It's not written in there for you to doubt. The doubt puts the walls up. So believe the word. If he said it, it doesn't matter. Whose report will you believe, he said to Isaiah. Believe the word of God. Don't believe the doctor's report, the bank account, or anything else. Don't even believe what the government says. Just believe the word of God. Hallelujah.
51. And now as he was going down, his servants met him and told him, thy son liveth.
Oh, hallelujah.
52. Then inquired he of them the hour he began to mend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him.
All right. Now, remember when Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law of the fever? Remember in other Gospels? Jesus spoke to the fever, and it, the fever, got out of the mother-in-law. Fever is an entity. Fever is a demonic force. This world right now is sin-sick with the fever of sin. We are now in the fifth trump, a time of learning. It's about to come to an end. At the sixth trump, the Antichrist will come. His time has been shortened. He's a devil with his Jesus costume on. At the seventh trump, Jesus will come, and the fever of sin will be burned up with the fire of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's one time fever's going to burn itself up.
Verse 53, so the Father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy Son liveth.
Now this also tells you something. See, there is a gift of healing, 1 Corinthians 12. If the Holy Spirit decides to give you that healing, people call me on the phone all the time from many other places, other nations, other cities and everything. The moment you speak with the anointing, the Word of God must be the Word of God with the fire of God. Jesus is not limited by distance. In other words, right now, if I have a phone call from someone in Africa and they were open to receive that, I would speak the Word, it would be instantly there. There is no distance in Christ. This is an awesome thing. Do you realize the power God has given you to speak the Word of God with the anointing of God, and you can help people all over this world? Distance does not hinder the Word of God.
Amen. And himself believed and his whole house. 54. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Chapter 5, verse 1. After this, there was the feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem.
Now, I've taught you by now that when you see the word J-E-W-S in the English, remember the English is a translation, the Greek word is Eudas. It either means our beloved brother Judah, whom we love very much, who's one of the 12 tribes, or a resident of Judea. In this case, it is a resident. Now, we've had the feast of Passover. Now, God has special ordained, God-ordained feasts in the Bibles. One is the Feast of Passover, and Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And the Old Testament, he had the Feast of Weeks, which now is our Feast of Pentecost. And then he has the Feast of Tabernacles, which is coming up about the time we have the Day of Repentance in the fall. This, scholars believe, is the Feast of Purim. Feast of Purim is a man-ordained celebration. It's not God-ordained. So this is what it's referring to. So Jesus goes to Jerusalem.
Now there is a Jerusalem by the sheep market.
Ah, by the sheep market. Now, this sheep market was where, since Jesus had not yet paid the sin debt, they would take the animals, the lambs and the sheep, march them through that sheep market to be sacrificed for the sin offerings. Remember, they had the blood sacrificed by the animals, a type of Jesus. So Jesus now goes by the sheep market. He's been up to Jerusalem for Passover. He's the Passover lamb. Now he's walking where the sheep will go through to be sacrificed for sin. Here's what he's doing. Jesus is walking in his destiny. He came to be the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. So to activate his destiny, he went up to Passover, where he himself 2 years later would be the Passover lamb. He goes here to the sheep gate, where he is the sacrificial lamb. He is walking in his destiny. There are stages of that.
A pool, which in the Hebrew tongue is called Bethesda.
Beth in the Hebrew is house, and Bethesda is mercy. Now here is a pool. Here comes the water again. Jesus is a living water. We got the water at Cana, we got the woman at the well, and now we got a pool of water. And this place is called the House of Mercy.
Having five porches.
Five in biblical numerics is a number of grace. Jesus is the pool of water. He is the living water. There's the fivefold ministry of the church, and all five have different ways of bringing anyone into the living water. So keep this in mind. Now, what's going on here?
3. And there lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. 4. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever went first unto the troubling of the water was stepped in and was made whole of whatsoever disease he had.
Now, you just read that and heard that in the Bible, did you not?
Yeah.
Now, do you remember in the garden when that old serpent, Revelation 22 says he's the devil, it was just a symbol. He said to Eve, if you touch me, you shall not surely die. She touched him, naga in the Hebrew, and of course, now all have to die. So that was in the Bible. But it was a lie by Satan, right?
Yeah.
It was a superstition, a fable. Remember Job's miserable friends? Almost for 38 chapters, his friends come to tell him, you have sinned, you are going to hell, you are bad, 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 bad. The reason you're sick is because you're bad, 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 bad. And that's in the Bible. But that's not what, that's not the truth. There are things in the Bible that God puts in there. It's telling you what people are doing and lying. This about the angel is a superstition. It is a tradition of men. Purim is a tradition of men. There's nothing wrong with it. I've been to one of those, but it's not of God, not a celebration of God. And neither is this. So keep that in mind. See, they thought that. They thought that. They thought that. Look at how many people will flock to something. Sometimes you'll see a tear falling off of a statue, and mobs will go there thinking they're going to be healed. Understand?
Verse 5, and a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years.
38 years.
Verse 6, when Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time.
Jesus knew he'd been a long time not being able to walk.
8, he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole?
Would you like to be healed? Nothing about the angel troubling the water, is it?
7. The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me.
Now listen to this man. This man is lying there. He can't move even to fall over into the pool. This means that nobody loved him enough. He probably had to pay. He, a crippled person, had to pay somebody to get him to the pool. Nobody was there to help him. But there was just enough of hope in him, somewhere, somehow, there's a God that's going to heal me. Just the slightest drop of faith, the grain of the mustard seed, can bring the living water, Jesus Christ, right to your doorstep. Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah.
Verse 8, Jesus said unto him, arise, take up thy bed, and walk.
Don't you just love that? Just cut through the chase, get up, and be healed. You know, we don't have to do a rain dance. Because we do this, we lay hands on the sick, and they recover. In the name of Jesus, on the basis of the victory of Jesus' blood, and by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we speak the word, and the word moves things. Something happens.
Verse 9, and immediately, the man was made whole.
Reminds you of Ezekiel 37, in the foot bone connected to the ankle bone, and the ankle bone, you know. Up he comes.
And he took up his bed and walked.
Yes.
And the same day was the Sabbath.
Violins. Now, God made the Sabbath for man. On the seventh day, God rested. And here's what he did. He knew you needed to get away from the nitty-gritty, the 9 to 5, or shall we say the 7 to 12 sometimes. And he needed that. He made the Sabbath for man, not man for the Sabbath, to give us a rest. Now, when Jesus died on the cross, the book of Colossians says Jesus nailed the Sabbath to the cross. And Paul tells us that Christ is now our Sabbath. Sabbath means Monet, resting place. So now, you as a Christian, Sabbath every day. On Wednesday night, we're studying Psalms, and we learned the Hebrew word gor, G-O-O-R. It says, I will turn aside from the way into lodging. In other words, you better learn how to Sabbath every day in Christ with all that's going on in this world. The phony church leaders, the Kenites here, had added so many regulations to the Sabbath. They couldn't pick up sticks. They couldn't do this, or they couldn't do that. They could walk only so far, and they definitely could not pick up their bed. The phony priesthood had made more rules. The letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. More rules for the people on the Sabbath than our government has made regulations for businesses. Okay, so they're going to be in real trouble.
Verse 10, the Jews therefore said unto him that...
Now that's not our brother Judah. Remember the word, those who say they are, Revelation 2, 9, Revelation 3. Now you better find out who these are, because they're going to make you think that their God is Jesus. They say they are Judah, but they're not. We love our brother Judah. These are the Kenites, descendants of Cain. Cain, the child of the devil. You must get it, or you're going to be deceived.
Steward, it is the Sabbath day.
Oh.
It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed.
I mean, phony baloney church leaders, they should have been saying, hallelujah, let's have some refreshment here, you're healed. Don't you take up your bed. We don't care about you being sick. Just follow our rules. Oh, I hate rules, don't you?
11. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk.
This man knew that somebody with authority had done this. A king has authority. And when a king makes a statement, it makes it legal in the courts of heaven. Again, you are a king and a priest. And when you decree a statement that is the word of God, according to God's word, it is then legal in the courts of heaven. And all of heaven, the whole throne and court will back you up. Hallelujah.
Well, then ask they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk?
What kind of an evil man would do such a thing?
Verse 13, and he that was healed wist not who it was.
He didn't know who he was.
For Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place.
The word conveyed there in the Greek means to turn the head to avoid blows. Now, Jesus is not a wimp. He came to die. But it wasn't quite time for him to be crucified yet. So he had the good sense to get out of there. He probably became invisible. You're going to watch Jesus gradually annoy the false priesthood. He has to annoy them, but he has to do it in phases so that they don't crucify him too soon. Because, see, if someone betrayed the Sabbath, broke the Sabbath, by their law, their man-made law, their tradition, they could kill him. It wasn't time for them to kill him. He will let them when it's time, because he came to die, to defeat death, whose name is the devil, Hebrews 2:14.
And afterward, Jesus found him in the temple.
Oh, the man was looking for God. There he is. He's gone to church.
And he said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Fear no more, unless the worst thing come upon thee.
Now, is Jesus saying that the reason you were crippled there 38 years is because you sinned? No, he isn't. Do you remember the blind man, the man who was blind from birth that Jesus healed? And they said, did he sin or did his family sin that he's made blind? Jesus said, no, he was made blind so that God could get glory when we see the miracle. What Jesus is saying here, you have to break it down very carefully from the manuscripts. He's saying, my friend, you have been cleansed. Your house has been cleansed from this infirmity, from this thing that has hurt you and kept you crippled. Be very careful. Do not let the church people talk you back into being sick. See, I have had people come and sit on this holy bench and be healed miraculously of cancer. They would go to a doctor, take a CAT scan. The doctor would say, that is a miracle, you're healed. They would come back, and in a month they had a backache. Why? The mindset. You see, we open a door for all kinds of things to come in, demonic forces, even sickness, by speaking sickness, by speaking lack, by speaking hurt, by speaking sadness. Words have power. Death and life is the power of the tongue. I've told you this many, many times. So be very careful. Seal all places of you so that you don't go there again. I had a friend some years ago. I worked my way through college. One of the jobs I had was with a chiropractor, and that's good, healthy healing. And she came in, and I knew her, and she loved God. And so she just wanted an adjustment to get her back working good there. And he took x-rays, and he called her in to see the x-rays, and he wanted to show her how the spine was all messed up. And she said, no, 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 I'm not going to see this. She said, I can't put this picture in my mind. You understand? So, as we used to say to little children, beware little eyes, careful little eyes what you see, careful little ears what you hear. Careful little feet where you go. Careful little hands what you do. It's so easy to become what you think upon. Seal all the doors. Get the house clean and keep it clean. Fill it with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit.
15, and the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus.
Now, see, he's a missionary too, like the woman at the well. Jesus healed me.
Made him whole. 16, and therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus.
As a friend of mine said, no good deed goes unpunished.
And sought to slay him. Because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. 17, but Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work.
Jesus says, my Father works on the Sabbath day, so I work. Well, now, how could he say that? How was the Father working? Because Jesus said, the Father and I are one. Right now, you are hearing or seeing a handmaiden of the Lord work on what some call the Sabbath. Every day is the Sabbath, but this happens to be what some people call Sabbath. But did you know who's working in me? The Father. Because the Bible says, the Father within me, he doeth the work. So Jesus says the Father works on Sabbath. Priests always work on Sabbath. I mean, we don't ever quit. We pray, we heal, we teach, we raise the dead, we cast out devils. Do we not, Scott? Yes, hallelujah.
Verse 18, therefore the Jews sought more to kill him.
Oh, my.
Not only because he had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God.
Isaiah 7:14, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now, see, Jesus is giving them a little red meat. He's got to annoy them enough so they will crucify him at the right time. If he agrees with them and doesn't tell them, they're not going to be mad at him. Remember, his destiny was to die. That's why he went to the Passover. He'll be the Passover lamb. That's why he went to the sheep gate there at the pool, because he's the sacrificial lamb. So he's giving them enough red meat. It'll build up, and the set time in God's appointment calendar, Jesus is going to die on the cross, pay the sin debt, and arise from the dead. Hallelujah. That's his purpose. Now, you have a purpose. Are you walking in it?
19, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily,
Of a truth,
I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise.
Jesus would say in other places, I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. Now, you are now, through Christ Jesus, a child of God. You're a son of God, son and daughter of God. Now, you have the Holy Spirit speaking in you, living in you. So as Jesus and the Father are one, you and the Father now are one by the Holy Spirit. So what you're supposed to do, don't say one word, don't sing one song, don't pray one word, don't do one thing until first the Holy Spirit tells you to do. For Jesus said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. See, that's what we call having the bit and the bridle in our lips, like mouth, like David says about a horse, that the Holy Spirit pull the rope and you turn on a dime, and then your prayers will have power. They will be God praying through you. You know what kind of prayer is pretty? The one that God hears and answers.
Amen. Amen.
And it would have to be the Holy Spirit praying it through you.
Verse 20, for the Father loveth the Son.
Don't you love that? Jesus encourages that the Father loveth the Son. You know how you're going through a rough time and you remember someone who loves you? He loves me. She loves me.
And showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that he may marvel.
Marvel. Now this came to pass in Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came like cloven tongues of fire and set on the disciples, and they began to speak in every language of the world. The people from every nation were there. And in Acts 2, all those people in different languages said, here's what they heard it in their language. They said, we heard the marvelous works of Almighty God. When you elect to deliver up to Antichrist, when you let the Holy Spirit take over your mouth, whatever it is, you do not premeditate, But I can assure you, it will be the marvelous works of Almighty God. But Jesus said, it's not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father, the Holy Spirit, who speaks in you.
21, as the Father raised up the dead and quickened them, even so the Son quickeneth.
Quickened means to be healed. Now the man lying there was a type of men dead in our sin, mankind in general. And along comes the Word, and he sent his Word and healed them. Along comes the living water, and up we come from the dead, Jesus.
He will. 22, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son.
The great white throne judgment, we've taught that in here at the end of the millennium. Everyone shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Some to walk into the lake of fire and be blotted out. And some, your works after salvation will be judged. Some of you, your works will be wood, hay, stubble. Some will be gold and silver. Some of you will have all your clothes on. Some of you will be naked. Some of you will be half-dressed. But this is the judgment seat of Christ. But one of the things you can do, if you give your whole life to God and do everything in your power to win souls and get the Word of God out, it's going to be reward day. So don't be afraid if you're fully committed and fully serving the Lord Jesus Christ.
23, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father.
You see, a lot of people say, I love God, I believe in God, but I don't believe in Jesus. No, Jesus is God. You know, so see, in other words, that won't work. We have many people, I've witnessed thousands of times that people say, I believe in God, but I don't believe in Jesus. Nope. Jesus is God. It doesn't work. They have one.
That honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father,
see?
Which hath sent him. 24, verily, verily, I say unto thee, he that heareth my words, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life.
And as Romans says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. The living Word, the living water, quickens the dead. We'll begin right there next time, but right now it's time for Mystery Moment, questions and answers to unveil the mystery of God. And I want to welcome my twin friend Scott Merson. Hello, Scott.
Hi, Miss Sherry. How you doing?
Great. How are you?
Good. That was a great word tonight.
Thank you. I hope it blessed everybody.
Very much so.
Question number one.
Yeah, we have our first question. Someone wants to know, I have heard preachers use the word apologetics. What do they mean?
In seminary, there's a course that ministerial students study, which is called apologetics. In the Greek, it means to apologize, but it does not mean to apologize to be a Christian. In a nutshell, it means to be ready to give a reason for the hope that is in you. Be able to let people know why you believe in Jesus and why they should.
Our next question comes from somebody who says, is there a connection between the Kenites and evil spirits?
Absolutely. Now, first of all, we know the Kenites are the descendants of Cain, Cain the child of the devil. They are walking around all over the earth, many in high places of government, right now doing the work of their father, the devil. Now, the evil spirits are demons, and Revelation says the river Euphrates has been opened, so they're walking on the earth. Now, the connection is found in the book of Joel. Remember, we studied the four stages of the caterpillar or the locust army. Now, that means that there are four stages of these working together, the demons and the Kenites, the devil's children, all working for their father. Now, locust there in Joel means Arabi in Hebrew, which is talking about the Arab or the Arab Spring. The four stages of the locust army involving human beings, the Kenites, with demonic angels, swarm together. Remember the Arab Spring? It started there. And on into Benghazi. Remember that? That's why there's so much controversy. And now ISIS. And see, many of these are human beings and some are demons, and the fallen angels are coming soon. A tremendous connection. All working for their father, Scott.
Amen. We see that too with the streams going through Europe and knocking down the walls,
yes,
coming over the walls and in the windows.
Yes.
Just like the word says.
Those are the actual demons there. That's true. Absolutely, Scott. Thanks.
Our third question, somebody wants to know if you could please explain out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water.
Yes, Jesus says, you know, in other words, you are now filled with the Holy Spirit, Christian. Now, you are a spirit. You are not your flesh pot. Your soul is your will, your emotion. Your spirit is the intellect of your soul. And so your spirit, you the real you, lives inside of you, kind of down there where your belly is, okay? And the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in you. Now, the Holy Spirit is represented by the water. So, when it's time for you to lay hands on the sick and they recover, or to sing a song, or to play the piano, or to teach the word, let's just use laying on the hands of healing, what will happen? The Holy Spirit will nudge your spirit. You will actually feel a pull. It is a physical sensation. It does not hurt, but it's like a woman with a baby leaping in your womb. And you will feel this power coming up out of your belly where you are, the spirit, flowing through your chest, onto your arms, out through your hands like a shower. That's the living water. Living water. Hallelujah. Anointing. The anointing restores the yoke. Praise God.
Yeah, we saw that in the word tonight as you released it too. The physical manifestation of the water and then
yes.
Jesus releasing that
yes.
healing water of himself. That
yes.
flowing water. That was awesome.
And you cast out some demons the other night and that
yeah.
happened then.
Yeah, we felt that flowing
through. We're tired, weren't we?
Okay, our last question. Somebody wants to know, what was that object in the Old Testament that God used to get that people used to get God's guidance.
God's guidance.
Yeah.
This was called the Urim and the Thummim. In the Hebrew, Urim means light, and Thummim means protection, perfection. Excuse me, light and perfection. The priest would wear his priest vest, and on the shoulders were the stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel. In the priest vest, he would have a pouch, and there would be this object in it called the Urim and the Thummim. And when the people wanted to ask a question of God, they would go to the priest because, see, they did not have access to the Holy Spirit, everybody, like we do now. And so they would say, shall we pursue the enemy? And so the human would light with the perfect answer. There was a certain signal for yes or a certain signal for no. And with shall we pursue the enemy, it would flash yes or flash no. Now, you are a king and a high priest. You have your own human and thuman. You have the Holy Spirit. So you say, in the name of Jesus, my Father, by the Holy Spirit, do I say this? Do I give that? Do I go there? Do I hush? Do I say? Do I do? Is this a demon? Do I heal? And guess what? The human will answer back, yes or no.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
He lights our path.
Yes, he lights our path. The light to our path. Thank you so much, God. That is great. Thank you very much, Scott. We appreciate you. Doing great. Scott's going to help me day to repent. We're going to have a great time in America, and we're praying that everybody will come back to Jesus. Don't forget that October 8th. Now, for all of you who are not saved, please pray this prayer with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Forgive my sins.
Forgive me my sins.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
And use me.
To enlarge your territory.
Enlarge your territory.
I love you.
I love you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, in a few moments, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number. I invite you to call and leave a message and let me know that you were saved. Now, let me pray for those of you who are sick. Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, O Son of Righteous, arise with healing in your wings. To the north, the south, and the east, and the west, from the top of the head to the soles of the feet, into the blood, and into the marrow, and into the cells, and into the thyroid, and the backs, and the stomachs, and the livers, and the kidneys, and the pancreas, and the spleen, and the hearts, and the lungs, and the vertebrae, and the ears, and the eyes, and the nose, and the throats, and the gums, and the teeth, and the feet, and the toes. Be healed in Jesus' name. He said his word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes you are healed. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Arise, take up your bed and walk. Faith is an act. Then speak the word of faith. With Jesus' stripes I am healed. Praise the Lord. Now if you were healed, you want to call and let me know that too. Well, now it's time for my love line of the week, from my heart to your heart. Live in the now. Yesterday, as the Beatles sang, is dead and gone. And tomorrow never comes. This time tomorrow will be now. Even God's name is present. He is Ayah Asha Ayah. I am that I am. And where you are right now, be all of you right there. Don't let a part of you be going out there and worrying or back there and worrying. I have learned this. I have taught myself this. Nobody told me this. It makes all the difference. You will do a lot more for God, and you will have a much less stressful life. Live in the now, moment by moment. Practice the presence of the one who is ever present, the great I am. God bless you. Now don't forget our Day of Repentance, October 8th, right here on my radio program. We're going to connect everybody in America, and we'll be telling you more about it. Remember this about Yeshua Jesus. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Now you have heard the truth today. The woman got saved and went and told the men. What you're supposed to do is go and tell. It's not a suggestion. It's not a sweet, nice thing to do. Some of you are blocking your blessings because you never pick up the phone, text, or invite anybody even to church. At least invite them to church. Do something this week. Don't let another week go by without at least going and telling somebody the truth. The world is dying, thirsting for the truth. So go and tell. It's a command. If you don't obey, you're in sin, people. Go and tell. And so Jesus is the living word. God bless each one of you. I thank you so much for listening to this program. Now wait now for my announcer to give you my telephone number. And I love you, and God bless you. And I will see you next time.
Listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Here in this moment, I choose to believe, to call on the invisible as if it could be seen. Here in this moment, I am unafraid to take part in this suffering and be called by Jesus' name. And I stand unashamed. Count all gain as loss, take all my pride and sinfulness and nail it to the cross, and I stand unashamed.
He was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds, by his wounds, we are healed. He was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds, by his wounds, we are healed. We are healed by your sacrifice in the life that you gave. We are healed, for you paid the price. By your grace we are saved. We are saved. Pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds, by his wounds, we are healed. He was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our sin. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds, by his wounds, we are healed. By his wounds, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of
You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. WMIE.
Justice to the weak, Says it all, hit the brakes in a moment of time. It's all out on the line, nobody knows.